Hello, and welcome to Chatterbox, the show where we talk about everything utterly pointless. Good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are in the world. Today I decided that I would talk about how you could possibly go about getting started in podcasting. I started not that long ago, and I haven't been releasing episodes very often, simply because I've been busy with school and stuff like that, so I have to put that first at the minute, but I had some spare time, so I thought I'd do one now. So, in this episode, I'm going to cover how you could get started with podcasting, how it could possibly help your business if you run a business or a small business, help you to get some more crowd. So, in my setup, I have a fairly, I'd say, mid-range setup, which consists of a mixer, microphone, and a compressor gate, which, if you're just starting out, you don't need to worry about. As a microphone, I use the Shure SM58, which isn't ideal, as it's more of a live microphone, but it sounds very good in the studio as well, as it was originally designed to be a studio microphone. It is quite pricey, however, at in the UK, just over, just under £100. I think it's £99 on the Shure website, but you get what you pay for, really. But in terms of microphones, I've lost my pop filter, which is why you can hear me popping and chirping all the time. In terms of microphones, I'd recommend the Behringer C1. This is a condenser microphone, typically used in, you know, sort of radio environments, but it's about £40, £35, which I'd say maybe about $40, $45, I'm not too sure, I haven't checked it, maybe $50 actually. But if you shop around, you can get it for cheaper, and that's a good place to start. Now, I use a mixing desk as a audio interface going into a separate USB sound card. However, there are better ways of doing it, even than my setup. The most popular audio interface these days is the Focusrite series of interfaces. They go up in needs, pretty much. So what you need, a microphone, do you need an instrument, do you need both, do you need quite a few inputs, but they're quite pricey. On eBay they're about 75-80 quid, however brand new they're about 130. So if you've got the money to spend, definitely go for one of them. However, you can go for, again, Behringer. They make a USB audio interface, which is quite good. Yeah, it'll get you through, definitely. And that's about £30 to £36, depending on what you need it for, and that'll give you a mic input and also an instrument input. So if you need to record, for example, a guitar, you could plug that in there and record your guitar. Now, microphones, if you aren't already aware, condenser microphones are different to dynamic microphones. Condenser microphones require something called phantom power, which is an extra 48 volts, which allows the microphone to be powered. Since I'm using a dynamic microphone, I don't need this, but condenser microphones do. Now, the Behringer USB interface has switchable phantom power, so if you don't need it, then you can just turn it off. If you are using a condenser microphone, then you will need to turn that on, which is fine. I'd also recommend getting some form of stand to hold the microphone up, because if you hold it, you get a lot of handling noise. So, other microphones that you could use are the Blue series of microphones, starting off with the Blue Snowball. This is about £50 to £60, depending on where you shop. This is quite good. Blue make a lot of consumer-end microphones. Lots of YouTubers use them, podcasters use them occasionally, stuff like that. And they've got quite high rating, so if you want to use one of them, that would suffice, definitely, for a podcast. The step up from that is the Blue Yeti, which is very, very common. That's about 100 to £150 nearly. So that's quite expensive, but that'll be your all-in-one package because it's USB. It'll plug straight into your computer, which means you don't need the interfaces separately. All it is just a mic, and then you take the USB cable from one end, the microphone, into the computer, and you are good to go. Section 2, software. Now, in terms of software, the most common piece of software is Audacity, simply because it's free. It's very powerful. I used it for quite a while until I got Audition by Adobe, but Audacity is very popular. Excuse my popping, I need to do something about that. Audacity is very popular, it's very powerful. It's quite professional as well, you can get fairly professional results out of it, but it's also quite user-friendly as well. Section 3, editing. Editing is also quite important because if you have podcasts where they don't sound very good, people won't want to listen to them because it might, if it's low quality, it might potentially give them a headache. People don't want that from a podcast that they're going to listen to. So, editing is quite crucial. So there's noise removal, which naturally most microphones produce some form of noise, be that sort of from the room around them, people moving around, stuff like that. So Audacity has a feature where you can remove the noise and it's a lot cleaner and sounds a lot better. Also, normalizing brings the waveform, let's say, if you don't know what waveform, look it up on Google, it's fairly simple to grasp, a waveform, and it will bring down the level of the waveform so that it's better for the listener at the end to listen to a long period. Section 4, uploading. And now I upload it on my podcast onto Podomatic, simply because it's free, so it's great for starters. You get I think it's about 500 megabytes of storage, and if you're uploading MP3s, which it will be for the first few episodes, unless you want to move it higher, so to wave files, which are a lot higher quality. But for spoken word, it's not that much of a deal. Yeah, you get 500 megabytes, and that doesn't really go down quickly. It might take maybe 20 or 30 episodes before you've lost that. Then you'll have to pay for more. But you can also then submit that, because you've got hosting for your podcast, you can submit that to iTunes and get your own podcast on iTunes, usually for free. Section 5, getting ideas. Another way of juicing up your podcast, so to speak, is to listen to other podcasts and get ideas from them. Not necessarily steal their ideas, because that's plagiarism, but mould their ideas around your ideas to create something different. But also you have a base, you know where to start, you know what you're doing. It's an excellent place to start if you don't really know what you want to talk about. Section 6. Dom's tips and tricks. To keep people interested, it's I recommend using music, breaking things up into sections is also quite important, because people tend to get bored if you're just using your voice over and over, just one droning voice. So it's best to try and split it up with maybe some music, some sound effects, anything like that. That'll help to keep people interested and listen to your podcast and subscribe to it as well. Another important thing is scripting. Not necessarily to the extent where you're reading line for line, but you know where you're going, you know what topics you need to cover, so you don't get lost in the middle of it, you don't know what you're talking about. That's never good. So it's always good to have a plan. So it's more of a plan than a script. To have a plan of what you want to talk about. That's definitely best procedure for getting a good podcast. So I hope these ideas and tips have been helpful to get you to start your own podcast. They definitely helped me when I read them up, because there's a couple that I didn't even know. So it helped me. So thank you very much for listening. Subscribe if you would like to hear more. I do podcasts every now and again, usually only about 10 minutes or so, maybe 15 or something like that. And I'll be back with more very soon. Thank you for listening.